Jesus. We didn't go live. What are you talking? Oh, God, you know, doesn't matter how much you try. Look at Pumi. She's like, she thinks this is hilarious. We were talking about. So what you missed while you were gone.
While you weren't on the stream. Yeah,
sorry, everybody. All you missed out on is that Pumi had given up.
Swearing
and meat for Lent. She's going back to the meat on Sunday and the swearing maybe
next
sooner.
Next Thursday.
Well, you know, I did give up drinking for 2.5 months. I kind of, it wasn't so much fell off the wagon as I just decided. No, I decided a friend of mine had got back from overseas and he said to me, let's have a drink. And I thought,
why not?
No, I'm an adult. I've given up drinking for 2.5 months, which it just proves that I can. That's all. It wasn't difficult. I didn't miss it. But I suddenly thought, nah, I did come to the very, very sad realization that actually a lot of people are extremely boring when you're sober. Especially the sort of people you spend, you know, weekend time with. Let's just put it that way. Do you agree?
No.
Yes.
I have lots of sober people in my life and they're not boring. I went to Gcinza with a friend of mine last week. We drove out on Thursday.
Now, this is a place that is not on everyone's tourist destination.
Yo, guys, and it should. It should.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Although the cars in the Eastern Cape are a law unto themselves. They
out
are
of control.
Out of control. I think they should be shot. I think that people shouldn't be allowed to let their lives.
Well, they will be shot and eaten as soon as you just start eating meat again. Then someone will shoot them and we'll be back to normal. It's your fault that there's so many cars.
Guys, it's an 11-hour drive.
It's a long drive,
but it's a beautiful drive. And the friend I drove with doesn't drink at all.
Okay, well, that's probably a good thing that they drive most of the way and you were drinking.
I drove. I love driving. I drove and we spent the entire weekend together. And on our way back, she was with her nieces on a phone call because they were prepping the one niece for an interview.
Oh, wow.
All the nieces, there were like six of them on the call. A bursary interview.
Oh, okay.
They were prepping the one niece. And because we were still laughing about something else when the stream came on, one of her sisters asked, how can you guys spend so much time together and still be able to laugh with each other after
what's the answer?
She's fun.
Yeah, look.
We like each other.
That is true.
Fun.
I mean, there are very few people in my life who I could spend a whole weekend with and not.
Really?
Yeah.
And so we both weren't drinking and we could still laugh.
No,
like that.
Okay. So let me just qualify this because I don't think that everybody's boring just because I'm not drinking. I mean, that would be ridiculous. But it does make the boring people seem more interesting. Whereas the interesting people stay interesting, whether you're sober or drunk, right? But the boring ones, the ones who you think, oh no, there's that guy funny. Like I saw someone at the gym yesterday and I haven't seen this guy for ages. And you know when you see someone in the distance and you're like, oh no, I hope he doesn't even recognize me. You know, just carry. Because it's not like I have a problem with him or anything, but he's just... he's one of those people you don't want to see.
You hope he doesn't recognize you.
Well.
Or he doesn't catch your eye.
Both. I just don't want to have, like, he's just boring. And I thought, ugh. And then he did see me and I had to talk to him. Ugh. So that's when you go, I could definitely, not that I would be drinking in the gym anyway, but I could have made that easier on myself if it was a social situation.
Sure.
And I was drinking. Because I have actually more patience when I've had a few drinks and I'm more relaxed and there's not such a control freak thing going on.
Yeah, there it is.
But you've been to Gcinza and apparently here Nico says I used to work there for a few years. I had the wildest parties there. But yes, the cars sleep on the road as you enter the place.
Yeah, dude,
out of control, hey?
Everybody worries about the cows.
What happened to the herd boys of old? who would make sure these cows...
reckless. These herd boys are reckless. They're sleeping on the job. Everybody warns you about the cows.
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm just like, yeah, I've driven into rural areas before. You know how to, you know, you have to watch out for the cows, but yay.
Yeah.
They sleep on the road. They're everywhere. And you know, cows... Actually, their life isn't, they don't necessarily go to sleep when we go to sleep. So they just.
I don't know this about cows.
You don't know this about cows?
No, fill me in. This is news. I don't really think about cows that often.
We drove.
might surprise you to. All I think of when I think of cow
is a
steak. Great machine for turning grass into steak. That's honestly, and I know there are lots of animal rights activists who listen to the show are going to get upset with me. And there are probably some people who are very, kind, caring sort of people who say cows have wonderful personalities and long, beautiful eyelashes and they're sweet, lovely creatures. They may well be, but to me, they're steak.
Yeah, so, you know, they are awake. They're always chewing, you know this.
Always chewing. Ruminating. Always chewing. Yes.
So in the deep dark, we went out on the one night. We were actually there for a series of parties.
Oh, nice. Good for you, Pumi Mashiko. Good for you.
On the night we drove back, it was after midnight. And as we just like drove into the cows in the road, just standing there. Standing there, staring. Chewing. It's quite a weird.
What did you think of that?
Quite a weird, like, it's like, this is insane. It's crazy. In between the people's lives. And it's, you know, it's not rural, like some of the places we've been to, kind of KZN areas. Because there's, Tsinsa East is actually quite developed.
Okay.
It's got, and there's.
It's not like I'm ever going to go, but thanks.
Thanks. You know?
So listen, let's just focus on everyone else's
now
problems.
Now that we've had the cow woosa.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the cow thing, the cow discussion is a necessary one. Who knows? There could be people this morning who really need to know about these cows that you encounter.
If you're driving into
the Sure. Then you need to know.
And East London. And driving into East London. London's a big city, guys. And there are cows on the road.
You've hit on like two things I really don't care about. The Eastern Cape and cows in the first 5 minutes of the show this morning. Good work, Pums. So there are places with big problems and people with big problems. I mean, we have got like unbelievable tumult going on in the rap community at the moment.
Yo.
Sweet Jesus. It looks like all the greats are just Cat Williams has ruined everything.
Cat Williams.
You told us to pay attention to this guy.
I actually want to go back and watch that Cat Williams interview.
It's like he's the Nostradamus of
Yeah. You know, he Kanego said to me about the Kendrick Lamar thing is like blowtorch, just took a blowtorch to everything.
That's what he's done.
That's what Cat Williams came out with, the blowtorch. He was like, he said in that interview, P. Diddy and all of them.
Right.
I got the receipts.
Right.
Got the receipts.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, got the receipts to what, Cat Williams?
Well, now we know.
But also, if you've like listened to Cat Williams, you know that Cat Williams does not lie.
He's crazy, but he doesn't lie.
Yeah, he doesn't lie.
Fair enough.
He says insane things that you think, no ways. And then if you just like scratch on a Reddit, you're like,
I used to walk past a certain building on Broadway, just below 57th Street. And it had Sean John on the building, right? And then you knew his apartment was up there, but also his offices for everything, for his music business, his clothing company, all of the other stuff that he was doing.
His Diageo partnerships.
Right, his Diageo partnerships. I mean, this is one of the most successful business people to come out of music. And I remember when he was at his height I don't think it's unfair to say that he reached his peak somewhere in the early 2000s. Because really, P. Diddy didn't... He'd do a lot of collaborations
because,
and things.
Because he's not like a rapper. He's not that. He's more of a producer.
But, you know, everybody knows we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. It turns out you might be going to prison. Da, 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 da. Because we're bad boys for life.
I saw because Bad Boys 3 is coming out. And right. I saw a little promo, I think, with Will Smith and thingy. And they didn't have Bad Boys.
I'm sure they took it out. I'm sure they'll be taking out Bad Boys. So all of P. Diddy's commercial relationships are at an end. All of them. And he, I mean, I don't know if this has been updated since I last checked, but up until last night, they couldn't find him. They didn't know where he's gone. His jet just kind of landed somewhere obscure. Mm. So we don't know exactly where he is. The cops have been raiding all of his houses.
So, okay. First,
this is a big story.
The first clue that something major was going down.
You do not need to be a fan of P. Diddy's to think that this is a big story. This is a big story.
This Fox News did a 10-minute explainer.
But Pumi, as the concentric circles around someone like P. Diddy start to spread, it encompasses people like
T.D. Jakes.
Well, that one we knew about, but now...
Yeah, but we kind of...
Jay-Z, he's like on the fringes of this. Lots of other very important people.
Usher, Justin Bieber.
Again, the Clintons. Let's just say it, because, you know, this thing doesn't stop with the musicians. It goes all the way to the politicians.
So, I knew this was properly a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the initial footage of a coordinated clampdown in multiple properties on multiples, mm-hmm. I was just like, it's going down for real. Because if you have to have a coordinated multiple simultaneous clampdown,
right.
It means you also don't want the people on those various properties calling each other to say, yo, it's going down.
Right.
Shred the papers.
Well, that's what's happening. Apparently his son, though, is not bothered. He's just kissing his girlfriend. You saw that stuff, right? The son, Christian Combs, is just like tongue deep into his girlfriend.
What can he do?
While the cops are busy raiding
what
the place.
What can he do?
Be like, maybe
he's
you
just
should
a kid.
Maybe you should just check in on your dad there.
He'll be like,
you know?
I'm just
you know
a
what
kid.
I mean? Jesus. Something else. So all right, that's going on. And we haven't finished that discussion either because there's still loads of stuff that's all happening. Then, of course, we've got to catch up on some stuff because we didn't have a show last week. So, surprise, surprise, Vladimir Putin won the Russian election. Are you surprised? I mean, it shocked me.
Just a little.
I can't believe. And by what,
as
80...
As an independent candidate, too.
And what, by 87%?
As an independent candidate. And I wondered if just that, the winning as an independent candidate, gave all our independent candidates kind of a view that this is possible. You can do this.
That's the inspiration for our independent candidates. Yeah. But Vladimir Putin really doing a landslide victory. We haven't seen numbers like this since the days of Stalin. So well done to him. Great news. Why do you think he did so well?
Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson.
Maybe that Tucker Carlson interview was just such a, you know, eye-opener for so many people. About the man.
You think it was Tucker Carlson?
I think it was Tucker Carlson.
All right. Well,
it's the Tucker Carlson effect.
I'm going to take your word for it. I can't imagine that within Russia, Tucker Carlson had so much of an impact. Anyway, I just think this is a real move. And then, of course, your other favorite story, which goes on, and we haven't done an update on since the great video was released of... Princess Kate, in fact, it was released on Friday last week, where she said she has cancer and she's been in treatment and she wanted to tell her kids first, and that's why she's been so quiet. But people are not buying it. They're saying, no, it's AI. I mean, I suppose there is a quarter of the internet, I say a quarter, it might even be a full fourth of the number of people on the internet who just will never believe anything. And I had this discussion on Monday. We're not going over it again. About how we don't know what truth is anymore. We've completely lost our moorings. But this story, you were the one who alerted me to it. I was paying no attention to the royal family for the first half of this year. First quarter of this year, as it turns out. But you've forced me to have to look at this stuff, and now it's pitching up on my feed.
Baba.
And now I'm getting constant updates about how you can see the ring in some of the video footage, and then sometimes it's gone.
The eye.
And the background, nothing moves. Come
on. Yeah, it's in a studio.
Look what you've got.
No, we know this.
Look what you've got me into.
It's in a studio.
All right, so tell me your latest on this. You bring me up to date. You're my connection here. Go on.
Listen, right now, there's so much, because Prince Harry was also mentioned there.
In the P. Diddy stuff. That's right.
There is so much stuff going on. And all I want to know about the royal family is, what the hell, guys? What is going on? At this point, Lizzie's going to come back. She's going to have to come back and kick everyone's ass.
Did she leave at the right time? First of all, I'm thinking more about, because I don't think that whatever Kate's got, I don't think she's like terminal, right? I mean, certainly that's
so not what the thing about a cancer, the thing about saying she's got cancer is cancer is scary and life-threatening and all of those things. But you can go into remission. So cancer is one of those things.
The king, though, has pancreatic cancer.
Yeah,
which
that's
like,
that's
so tickets. He's going to have a nice short reign. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, and I think about him a lot, because I think here's this guy who spent his whole life, 75 years, waiting to take the job. No, I mean, it's Shakespearean. It's so awful. And now he's got limited time. I really, that to me is very, very sad.
Well, I think therein was his main problem, was the waiting to take the job. He really could have had a full life, a great life.
Well, he did. He didn't have a shit life. Come on, let's be fair.
But my point,
hard is it to be the Prince of Wales?
Except for the fact that if you are in a constant state of anxiety
and waiting
for your life to start,
your purpose.
Yeah, then, but he didn't have to.
Let this be
that
a lesson.
Let
this be a lesson to all of us, because stress is the thing that brings on death, right? And in various forms. I mean, I'm not going to become one of those esoteric people who says that cancer comes from stress, but we know it can. It can.
Listen, stress is the worst thing in the history of humanity.
And therefore, live your life right now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for the big thing that you've been hoping for your whole life to have. Start now. Squeeze every drop of fun out of life right now. Don't have regrets. Get into it.
Or just relax.
And here we are.
Be
like the cows of Tinsa. But also on the cusp of a weekend, a long weekend, because we've got tomorrow off and Monday. And many people will be spending time with family. Mm-hmm. I saw Alan Ford yesterday afternoon. We had a meeting and I said to him, what are you doing this weekend, Alan? He said he's spending Friday with the family. They're doing all the things, going to mass.
I was actually going to go to mass on Saturday. It's one of my favorite services. Because the church my mother goes to, which I went to for many, many years in Pimville, has an amazing choir. And like the Christmas carols, I like the Easter songs. And they only come by once a year. So I was going to go to mass and all of that. But I went to a funeral yesterday at the church. One of my mother's friends passed away. And I had my quota. I filled my quota.
You're okay now for the weekend.
Yeah, I filled my quota. The service was amazing. The church choir was there. All of the things. All the touch points, baby. All the touch points. I'll be spending Saturday.
I had a dream last night. I had a dream about chocolate, which I've never done before. So I think it's because it's the Easter egg advertising, I'm telling you. And by the way, one of our listeners sent me an email yesterday, because I didn't sleep on Tuesday at all, and I couldn't work out why. Monday night. I arrived here on Tuesday morning exhausted and finished like an hour's sleep, and I couldn't figure out what had happened. And our listeners are so smart, they pay attention to everything. On Monday morning's show, Mash was in here, and he told us about something called frogging. Oh, do you know what this is? When I heard Mash saying it, I thought it's got to be something sexual. But it isn't. So frogging, and I'll get to how this relates to my not sleeping. But frogging is where someone lives in your house and you don't know. They live in the roof, or they live in the basement, or they live in a spare room that you never go into.
Or like an outside.
Or an outside,
underneath the house.
Right, a crawl space thing. Yeah. So Mash was telling us there are these videos of these people who would, they put up cameras eventually because this woman suspected there was someone like raiding her fridge. So she put a camera in the kitchen and this creature comes out from the trap door. A person.
Okay, you, Baba.
But it looked
words
like
are important
it
here.
Looked like a
words are important here.
Did you just get like shivers up your spine?
I just saw Gollum.
Yeah. Well, something like that, and it climbs out of the roof, and then it goes to the fridge and it helps itself, and then it climbs up and it leaves no trace. And this woman was like, I didn't know. And for all she knows, it could have been weeks, months that this thing living in the house.
But how do they get in?
You're asking me. Maybe that's what freaked me out. I was so freaked out. Look, I don't like people in my house when I invite them into my house. So you can imagine how this might have bothered me on a psychological level. And so one of our listeners very acutely observed that this is probably why I didn't sleep on Monday night.
I
was
suppose.
Thinking about the frogger in the ceiling. So,
and when you've got a big house and it's just you and Alice.
It's just me.
And Alice.
Well, Alice is down. I mean, she barks all the time, which makes me think.
Listen, Mojo's an old man. He's barking all the time. I don't know what's
maybe
going
we've
on.
Both got froggers in our house.
But so frogging, right? Because this is, you know, this
frightening.
This is a big thing in the States that it seems to be taking over.
Mm.
How people are just, all these houses that are empty.
People are squatting.
People are squatting. Yeah, yeah. And we have this here in Joburg. We have lots of squatters.
Oh, especially in the CBD.
No. Here in the suburbs, baby. In the burbs, yeah.
Just people who move in and you can't get rid of them.
Yeah. And I think there was a thing about it in the Sunday Times, anyway, or Carte Blanche, one of those old media types.
It's a big problem.
When you see it on Carte Blanche.
You know it's real. Yeah.
But that is, that might be a thing that would keep you up at night subconsciously.
I'm telling you. No, it freaked me out completely. I was very unhappy and I only realized it when I got this email. You know, sometimes other people are able to see things about you that you don't see.
Mm.
And when I saw
also, because when you said creature, I immediately
creature.
I either thought like, what's his name, Dobby?
Yes, Dobby and Harry Potter.
I thought
Potter,
about
yeah.
Dobby, and I thought about Gollum, and so it was a little bit because again, driving out into the Eastern Cape, you know, you drive through Hobbit country.
Yeah.
So the Hobbit's been on my mind.
Jesus. Well, there's so much more to get into on this front too. But I can't help thinking with all of this squatting and people living in each other's houses and in each other's space, there's a big story in the news this morning. Apparently in Paris, they tried to deport some illegal immigrants. And the other illegal immigrants
fought back
and like started physically attacking the immigration authorities. And I'm like, the world, Pumi, you often say, when are the aliens coming? Well, the illegal aliens are already among us.
This is the
But the aliens, the outer space aliens, they're coming. I'm telling you it's coming. I even spoke to a friend of mine who I do regard as a very sensible, very reasonable,
grown-up.
This is a person you could trust. I would give them my house keys and they wouldn't frog. They'd look after it. And there wouldn't be anyone else messing with my stuff. I honestly is one of the people I have worked with for 9 odd years professionally and personally. We've got a friendship and he's a responsible person. He has a couple of kids. He's been married. He's a very, very together, orderly, not insane person. And he is absolutely convinced that there are aliens. And that they have got a plan and that they've been involved for a long time And I got to get him on the show. He won't do it because he's worried about what other people will think. They're going to think he's insane. But I'm telling you, he knows what he's talking about. And I don't think he's an idiot. So Gareth, I'm starting to think maybe we should all be paying attention to the aliens.
Gareth,
not so wacky.
This year, and you know, when I was thinking about yesterday and today's show, and I was thinking about the fact that it's going to be the 1st of April, and we're one quarter. We are just one quarter.
That number's come up a lot this morning.
Into 2024.
Yeah.
And already, the amount of nonsense. Where's my Stop Nonsense t-shirt? The amount of nonsense.
I'm making you one. Don't worry.
We have had to deal with this year. You actually, if you think about it on the top of your head, you can't actually think about the nonsense. You have to, and then that was this year, guys. This year alone. That is why this is the year that the aliens come.
Oh my God. Let me tell you. Nico says Pumi thought that creature thing was a togolosh. Probably.
Baba.
That scares me. I remember watching Lesilo when I was a kid. Lesilo. And I mean, I couldn't speak Tswana, but I remember watching that show.
And that freaked show was out. Freaky.
Yes, sis.
The first two seasons were quite freaky. The other thing, in those 80s, because we didn't have all the tech. God. Remember here in South Africa, we didn't have all the tech. It's even those sangomas
in the Henry Tele Shaka Zulu. With the glowing eyes.
And
you remember?
The no teeth and the...
Those umtagatis.
Baba.
Hey, Shaka.
Also, you're a wee teenager. That kind of
scared
stuff.
Scared the hell out of me. So Signet says, Gareth, imagine someone taking a massive dump in your bathroom while you're sleeping. That's like all my worst fears in one. What are you trying to... Now you're going to ruin my Thursday night sleep. What's wrong with you people?
Now you're never going to sleep.
I'm never
going to
sleep again. I think that there are people in our audience whose whole job it is to upset me every morning. Pete says, did you check your ceiling? You see? That's what I'm talking about. Nico says, my boss went for a walk with his dogs, came back and found a dussie under his stove.
What?
Under his stove? Luckily, not the togolosh. Okay, Gray says, we have a few squatters in Cape Town and the liberals here are always trying to stop the cops removing their tents, etc., sending them to a shelter because shame, it makes them feel yucky. Yeah, you know what? Cape Town is such a place of contradiction and we're going to have in the Burning Platform later. I'll be honest and say to you, they weren't our first choice for this morning. We were trying to find other parties, but they're all busy. And we're trying to talk to all the party leaders. So obviously the leader of this party is a minister and she's not available. But we're going to speak to a guy we've spoken to before on the show, Brett Herron, who's from the Good Party. But I thought, you know, actually it's quite appropriate that we have the Good Party on this morning because... You and I were in Cape Town two Fridays ago, and you saw their poster.
I saw the poster.
I spoke about this with Jack Mutlante on Tuesday, and the poster says, vote for Auntie Pat, right? That's their whole line.
And I would posit that we gave her that Auntie Pat.
I think we did.
Hey? I think we gave her that Auntie Pat.
You must remember this Burning Platform's been going 10 years, and we've seen a lot of politicians come and go.
And now she's owning it.
I've interviewed Patricia De Lille on a number of occasions, not since she's become minister, but I would like to know what she has planned. Because actually, what does the Good Party stand for these days? And I think about these squatters in Cape Town, and I think about the Cape in general. There's a huge thing going on. I saw Musi Maimane on Twitter saying that John Steenhuisen doesn't own the Cape.
Yes, Gareth, okay.
I saw Gayton McKenzie saying he owns the Cape.
We're like, supposed to do the news headlines, but I think maybe we must just take a five-minute breather because last week Thursday was a public holiday, but it was also one of the busiest news days we have seen in a long time. Because we woke up to the news of Nosiviwe Maphisa Nqakula.
Which Bantu Holomisa had told us about.
Sat right here and said she's running all over this.
So let me just remind everybody, we may not be a news channel, but my God, we break the news
sometimes. Break the stories here.
Bantu Holomisa told us about this a whole week before. and nobody listened. And then suddenly the news starts reporting it a week later. Just saying you should be paying attention if you aren't already.
The general sat here and he said that the speaker is avoiding prison.
Mm-hmm.
The police are looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I thought, okay, I don't know what that's about, but we wake up to the news, raid at her house. She must hand herself over. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. That's quite a big deal.
That
the speaker,
is a big story.
The speaker is the head of the legislative branch in the country, one of three branches of government. It's an important story. Anywhere else in the world, this would make headlines for 3-4 weeks in a row. And yet, she's already managed to have nothing happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, mm-hmm. of course, she's very connected. Which shows you again, we have two systems of justice in this country. But yeah, that was only one story. What else?
Terrorist attack in Russia.
Oh my God, that was huge.
What?
Which now it turns out they were ISIS.
This is after the man was beaten and tortured and he said he is Vladimir Zelensky's brother. And like...
But even Putin has said, okay, looks like they're ISIS.
Yeah, right.
Which, I mean, he had every reason to try and blame it on Ukraine. Even he says it isn't. So I think we could take that as truth. You know how people are always like, what is true? What is true? Well, I think in this case, that's about right. Surprise, surprise, another Islamic terrorist. Okay.
Floyd Shebambo being recalled out of running the campaign in KZN and being brought back home to, you know.
Because you and I have heard... We've spoken about this on the Burning Platform already. We've heard that the internal goings-on of the EFF are not so calm and cool and collected.
No, that's big.
And by the way, who was the member of parliament who they've recalled as well because she had that argument on
Naledi. So she was not recalled. She was not recalled. She was asked to write an apology. She was asked to her atonement.
Mm.
Was a public apology,
a disciplined
which she did, and in her apology, for us at least, the Twitterati out here broke open or scratched open a piece of the surface of what we've always thought about this party. It became big news. She had to get another smackdown. And on Monday when we saw the party list, she's number 200
list. Even Carl Niehaus is above her.
In order for her to get in, Carl Niehaus is above Mzwanele and Mkhwebane.
You're joking.
I'm not.
Has he moved up?
True story. He's
Carl Niehaus has moved up. Busisiwe Mkhwebane and Mzwanele Mani.
If
no.
If the EFF...
You astonish me.
If the EFF's performance in this election is stagnant, is exactly the same as it was the last time we had a national election, Mzwanele and Mkhwebane will just scrape through. They're like number 40 and 42 on the list. And today the EFF have, I think, 46 people in parliament. But in order for Naledi Chirwa to make it back into parliament at number 200 on that EFF
they would
list,
have to win.
They would have to get every available seat from every other party.
Oh my God.
But you know why the recalling of Floyd is big from KZN? Because KZN is so deeply contested, but KZN is actually a big part of the puzzle in our national election. Mm. That's why everybody is having their manifestos at Moses Mabhida, because the KZN vote is a big chunk of what it looks like in South Africa. We had a conversation with Wayne Sussman the other day at our office, and he was telling us that if you get 35%, of the KZN vote, you get 5% of the national vote.
That's big.
That's
huge.
Like,
and people haven't factored that in yet. I see Duduzile Zuma is busy making huge noise. She's even posting pictures of her with Fikile just to mess with him. MK won a significant victory. This is why we're doing news headlines. Dalimpofu, their advocate, was arguing that the ANC doesn't own Mkhonto weSizwe as a trademark. It's funny, hey, like the ANC is always telling us how they're a party of the people, they have comrades, socialist values, but my God, capitalism.
They're a broad church.
Broad church. But capitalism always wins, hey, because if you want to own your trademarks, suddenly ownership of things really matters, even for the ANC. And they don't care about your ownership of things, but when they own something, they want it to be taken terribly seriously by the courts. So just, you know, these are not serious people. I also wanted to ask you, because this is something that came up, and we haven't really gone into the depths of this story. It's also sort of disappeared off the international agenda. But Haiti, because we kind of mentioned it, and it's been mentioned in the comments here by somebody, you guys were talking about the cannibalism, and there was actually cannibalism. The guy who's in charge of the rebels who've...
Barbecue. Barbecue.
His name is Barbecue, yes.
But not because he's a cannibal.
Like it matters. Let's just get the nomenclature around this terrifically evil warlord right.
It's
not because he's been eating people and brying them. It's because his father ran a...
Shisanyama. Guys.
There's so much to talk about.
Guys, do you hear me say that first quarter, three months. We're in month number three.
It's enough. We can't do this. Okay. Musi is gathering some serious cachet. He's slowly becoming the trustworthy guy, which is nice to see, but he's got no chance. Okay, so that's interesting. Carl is picking up that Musi's actually going up in his estimation. You saw Musi, Steenhuisen, and Gayton McKenzie in one night the other day.
In one room.
They all shat themselves for Pumi. I mean, this is... No, the funniest thing is that, is that all three of these leaders of major political parties, when I introduced Pumi to Gayton, he goes, "Oh, this is Pumi.
You're so small." That was funny.
He thought you were 20 foot tall and terrifying and intimidating.
And guys, I'm actually taller in person. See me on the screen, I'm taller.
Did you talk
in person
to Musi?
It's also because
do you have any words with Musi?
No, Musi was actually, I did have words with Howie. Musi was very, very quiet. I mean, I almost didn't see him. I almost didn't see him there.
It's hard not to see Gayton because he's loud. And it's hard not to see Steenhuisen because he's huge. And I don't mean Steenhuisen is tall. I mean, he's wide.
Rotund.
Definitely. I've brought this up before, so it's not as if I'm only doing this now. And it's not because I'm fat shaming either. I've said this to his face, right? And then Felix in the comments, I always take note when someone called Felix has something to say. Says, "Gareth, can you consider doing some more research on OHM in an interview with the leader, Lauren?" Well, I've been spammed by OHM.
Haibo.
No. It's a political party.
They spammed you.
Yeah, I'm getting emails every other day. And guys, we're on to it. Don't worry. The producers are talking to OHM. But really, on the scale of things, OHM are like, you know, I mean, even smaller than the Good Party, for all we know. So we'll get there.
So look, the list is out. The list of if you go on elections.org.
Oh, the ballot.
The list of who's on the ballot,
right,
is there. And when I first saw it, All Game Changers was on there, which is the other
That's
twin.
That's Duduzane,
right?
So the whole Zuma family, basically politics is a family business.
But yesterday, it seems, and there was, you know, there's a guy who is an absolute
if, you know,
scammer.
If someone just landed arbitrarily and listened to the first 43 minutes of this morning's show, they would think, this planet must be destroyed. Just say, you know, like you brought up the other twin. They're like, what is this? This is South Africa. Barbecue, Kate Middleton. It's insane. Vladimir Putin. There's too much. Sorry, I interrupted you. Candace Owens is another one. Sweet Jesus, what's going on there? Mapelo says, "I watched the Candace Owens video with the Barkley guy. What a shit show." Again, so much. Barbecue is coming up. Very popular subject, barbecue.
Guys, I still have 3 days. Can we? I still have 3 days to go. Let us not have a meat conversation.
Tabo says, you can't be surprised by Haiti. Come on, there's no food there, let alone meat to barbecue.
Guys.
Pull me there, guys, upsetting you. Guys. Will OHM lead the resistance, says Signet. Sandile agreeing with me, he's quite fat. Yeah. And Pete says, and I'm with Pete, don't trust fat leaders. Can't.
You're, and then we have a serious problem in this country.
Big one, because there are lots.
There are very few.
Who are in shape. Julius used to be, and he got into shape. To his credit, that's one thing I'll always
give him.
We made the comment.
But on, although he's regressed slightly.
Listen, we made the comment on this show first. he was sitting opposite me, and I said, you picked up quite a lot of weight. And I don't think that was necessarily the reason, but we may have been the last straw that broke the camel's back. And then he went off. He was on a strict diet. He did exercise.
I think he started cycling.
In fact, he got so thin, people said, he's got slow puncture.
Uyagula lomuntu.
And then he was like, no, I'm not ill. I just lost the weight, which is discipline. Mm. If you can show discipline there, you can show discipline in other places.
But he has regressed slightly in the past couple of months. I can see him like going back to. And this is the thing about like. This is the thing about like serious diets and hard work and da, da. You have to. It's a lifestyle choice, Baba. Because then you just go back. If your lifestyle doesn't stay changed, you just go back to what you used to be.
And he
was in the news 2 days ago for not knowing the price of bread, or that bread is VAT exempted. That was...
Yeah, he got into big trouble for that. Plus, speaking of fat people, he was on Anele's show yesterday. And apparently...
Anele's also lost weight.
She has. No, she has. Shame. Apparently, she was very buddy-buddy with him and acknowledged, among other things, that she's regularly attended braais at his house. Not that it's hard to get Anele to come to a braai, but at his house. So, talking about... You know, John Steenhuisen and Anele and Julius when he was fat and all of this. My sister's boyfriend sends me, whenever he finds anything about pork, like, embark on a pork world tour with us. Then he says to me, it looks like John Steenhuisen's campaign is going well. So whenever pork comes up, he comes up. We're very unfair on this show. In terms of the way that we go after people's behavior in the personal and private realm. Hmm. But if you're a politician, I'm afraid you kind of open the door, you know? And I expect nothing less. Sandile says, come on, Gareth, Anele got herself together. She did, and she's terrific, and I have no problem with Anele. I want to be clear about that. Hmm. I just like to tease her like she teases me occasionally. We get on fine. There's no controversy there. Maybe Mazzotti.
You know who else has lost?
Who?
A lot of weight. And she was on Jimmy Kimmel, I think. Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, but she's on Ozempic now.
Ozempic.
She's on Ozempic.
I wonder if Oprah, they're paying her.
Why do you think she quit the Weight Watchers board and then suddenly was like, hello, I'm them?
I hope they pay her there by that Ozempic pharma. Because
You know who needs some Ozempic is Selena Gomez. Sure.
See
what she's looking like.
That Ozempic, when I saw those pictures of Oprah, I was just like, where's that Ozempic? How does one get into that clinical trial?
Pumi, it's not a clinical trial. It's available now. The people in this country who are on it. You should listen to our show 2 weeks ago. We had... We had doctors in here, Dr. Fatima, who we've had on, Fatima Patel. She was in here talking to us, and she was explaining how it works and what it does. And we've had endocrinologists who've been on to talk about it. So we've been on this train already. And I do know people who are doing it, and they look amazing. Who knows whether there are side effects? They may still be in the future.
20 years from now. But I will have had 20 years of being thin.
And maybe being so thin is what's ultimately had
it's going to save me from the aliens. Well, this is why the aliens will take me.
It might not save you from what
I'll
poor,
take
Kate,
less space.
Poor Kate Middleton's going through. She's always been thin.
Listen.
There's a fine line.
But when you're thin, you take up less space in the alien ship. So,
if they want you, who says they're going to even come and get you and me? Mapelo says you must please invite the citizen concerned lady to the Burning Platform to help you interview these politicians. Yeah, she's terrific. She was at one of our events a couple of weeks ago.
I met her.
First time I met her as well.
Oh, amazing. She's great, skin. Guys, amazing skin.
You see, now the personal always bleeds into the public and so on. She has great skin.
Listen, I actually saw her from across the room and I'm always in these rooms where people are famous and whatever, you have to hold yourself back. Yeah, but
yeah, you can't behave like a fan.
You don't know. You don't know. Mm. But also it takes me a minute to kind of figure out if I know you or if I know you from a screen somewhere or whatnot. So I always like, you must always like hold yourself back. And I like wondered, who's that girl? And what is that skin? I wanted to ask her what was on her skin, but I didn't.
I have lots to ask her that has nothing to do with her skin.
But you should start with the skin, yo.
I think we should get her on the show though.
Yes, absolutely. So,
we have also been talking to her.
Love her TikTok.
She's got a very, very, very successful YouTube TikTok thing going. And, you know, we might be working with her again from a podcast party initiative going forward. But we'll see. We've got to sit down and talk to her. But I want to get her on this show because I think people love her. And Fire Monkey says, I remember the interview Juju had with Deborah Pat on Third Degree and she commented on him getting fat and he said it was the Heineken. But he called it the Henneken. I think, Julius, as evidenced by the fact that he didn't know the price of bread, I think he's onto much more expensive stuff than beer.
Listen, Musi Maimane could not help himself from trolling Julius about that issue. He trolled Julius about the loaf of bread
Susco.
Versus
loaf of Susco. I retweeted that. I liked it. I thought it was funny.
Hi, guys. Mm-mm. Yeah, when you are this public space, public sphere that these people are in, there are some lines. And when I saw, there were a couple of things that Musi tweeted yesterday or the day before, which all of them made me think, Baba. Pull yourself
in.
Back to yourself. Zitande. I did want to just like, I wanted to tweet Zitande. I think we must bring that back. I'm going to wear the t-shirt next
week. So we need two t-shirts for Pumi.
My Zitande t-shirt, Zitande. I think I must wear it on the show more often when we're doing political.
And I need to bring you a stop nonsense. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say to Musi, Zitande. I did. Yesterday, I wanted to. But I did not.
All right. Well, today we'll do the good party as part of the Burning Platform. Are there any other news stories? Oh, the bridge. The bridge that collapsed in Baltimore. Well, it didn't collapse. A ship sailed right into the support of the bridge. Right into the column underneath the bridge.
93,000 tons, I think they said, is what that thing weighs that went into the bridge. 93,000 tons. Of steel. Now, I love ships because every time I see it, I'm like, how does that thing even float?
Mm-hmm.
How do they? Mm-hmm. I love ships. You remember this when we went on the cruise. Absolutely love ships. But watching that, wow.
Let me just play the video in case you haven't seen it. This is unbelievable. In Baltimore, Maryland, huge container ship. Comes steaming along and we'll play.
Nico says that was real. He thought it was fake.
No, it was. It was real. So
it lost power.
It goes down. Yeah. And you can see the bulk of this thing just moving, then
power
it recovers.
Comes back on.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of smoke as the engines kick in. Then they lose power again. And they recover again. But now this means someone is at the controls. But now they're heading straight for the bridge, and boom. Apparently, cars that were on the bridge went down.
Oh, but God. Amazingly, only 6 people Jesus. Were injured in this little...
It's a hell of a thing to watch. really is extraordinary. You can see the shadow of the bridge on it now, and then one, two, three, boom. Smashes right in there. And that thing, it just, like, it shows you there's always, it doesn't matter how well engineered something is, there's always some human error that can do tremendous damage to stuff. Oh, and there's the sad piano music, which who knew we wouldn't be able to make it through the show without some sad piano music. So,
do you have the video of the mayor? Because what we also then discovered is that the mayor of Baltimore is 20 years old.
Oh.
Well, he's not 20. But when he came on, and he, that's the mayor?
Democrats.
But he was good. I mean, he was middle of the night, well, early morning or whatever it was.
Stop everything as if that isn't enough for you this morning. Good morning. Here's Catherine from Centurion. Hi, Catherine. Let's just make a special note. You know? And you also need a Listen Properly t-shirt. That's a good idea.
Listen properly now.
Yeah. Sandile makes a very good point that the chief socialist, being Julius Malema, doesn't know that bread is zero rated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That ship swerved and then went straight into the support beam. Well, it was too late, you see.
So Patrick here is giving the physics around why ships don't sink. I have read what there is to read. I love everything about the physics of what keeps all that hunk of metal floating. Amazing.
There were construction workers on the bridge, less traffic on it at the time, still a loss of life. Oh, that's horrible. But, I mean, this is, again, in the world's great superpower. Funny, I was listening to a news report the other day. Shame, yeah. We're all witnessing the worst throes of a nation in decline. Gore Vidal predicted this years ago, but it's happening. It's happening before our very eyes. I heard this news report that they linked to, you know how many dead malls there are in America? You know what a dead mall is? That's a mall, a shopping mall that just nobody goes to anymore. They shut them down. They still switch on the power to keep it clean. They belong to somebody, but it's more expensive to dismantle the mall than it is to just keep it open. So what happened? They use these malls. Guess who uses them? Old people. To walk. It's safer than being in the street. So they take busloads of old people into these dead shopping malls in America, and they walk through the mall.
That is,
that's where they get their exercise.
That is disturbing.
So sad, right? Dystopian.
That is disturbing.
When you watch the zombie apocalypse movies and all these visions of a terrible future, it's always empty shopping malls.
And we have a lot of those happening here. You know, all those strip malls. We are overtraded with malls. There lots of empty shops with like paper in everywhere.
But here that's also because we're not growing economically.
Because the economies.
And because we probably built too many of them. But in America, they also have that problem. It is much more related to the fact that America is just not making the money that they used to make. And apparently, if you count the number of parking spaces in America, there are 8 times more parking spaces in America than there are cars. And that's why all those parking lots are overrun with weeds, cracking asphalt.
And wait, 8 times more?
8 times more parking spaces in America, because mostly it's shopping malls.
Does that mean they don't have to do that thing where you're like driving slowly trying to find parking?
There's
a small car parked right in the front. You think it's a parking space. You're like,
people do that anyway because they want to be closer to the doors. But in America, there are 8 times more parking spaces than there are cars. Cars across the whole country. That's a lot of parking spaces. So at least they're using them for old people to walk around. Amazon is going to destroy malls in South Africa, says Christian. I think he may have a point. They do online shopping in America now. That's also true. But the economy in America is in decline. It's not great at the moment. And Americans the first to tell you that. I worked on a cruise ship and we had to go into dry dock and I couldn't believe the bottom could fit in my fingers. It looks crazy out of the water.
It does.
It's unbelievable. And Just Milan says there was an article not too long back that said Fourways Mall has an entire vacant wing. Did you know this?
What?
Fourways Mall. I did not know that, Just Milan.
Wow.
They have a whole boarded off section that no one goes into. Hmm.
Weird. Parking Do you think spaces. It's got rats, that boarded off section?
As big as cats.
Yeah, because you know the Hyatt, my office is near the Hyatt here in Rosebank, and the Hyatt
That's
is
been
still
closed. For a barbed wire in the front.
Barbed
what,
wire
what happened
in the front.
There?
And when you come in through the side where the grill house is and whatnot, you can actually smell the hotel, the empty hotel coming. And it's like, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. It closed down because of COVID, when it was COVID, and then it just
never reopened.
And every time I drive past it, I think, this is great site, great building, great. Why is this thing still closed? And then it freaks me out because then I think about the rats. And now that we've been talking about frogging.
Yeah, it makes me nervous. One last quick thing, and then we've got to get to the burning platform. Canthan will be in this morning as well as
Brett
Heron.
He's there in the window. Look at him.
I know, you were waving at him already. People were going, who's he waving at? Well, it's Canthan.
It's Canthan Bule.
Come on in, Canthan. This is your Mikasa Sukasa. Make yourself comfortable. Just one quick thing about malls. You know where the biggest mall in the world is? Biggest shopping mall in the world?
No.
Iran.
No ways.
Yeah. Tehran. Biggest shopping mall in the world. Look it up. Contradict me if you think you can. We will be back in just a moment or two. And we've got the burning platform, which I know you're ready for. God, this hour has just been like a schizophrenic
snapshot of the world. A lot like the first quarter of this year.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's more to come.